All right, let's take Off the Rails Friday right into our national hour live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, and head coach. I'm not sure if he's on the beach or if he's at the shuffleboard area of his Boca Vista.
The Boca Vista? Is that where he's at?
Yoga. We'll find out in a few minutes.
Can I... Go ahead.
Did you see the goal Marc-Andre Fleury gave up last night to start the game?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was an insanely bad bounce.
The way he was attempting to play it was also insane. He was trying to, like, was it like something you'd
Everything
see it, like it's like
right?
a swing at a with a cricket
bat?
Bat or mallet or whatever you call it. I don't know what he was trying to do. Like, push it in the corner, obviously, but. I can't believe he whiffed that much.
One of my favorite things that Grapes used to do in all those Rock'em Sock'ems is he would have like a part of the video where it was like the crazy bounce portion. Mm-hmm. And the puck does weird things sometimes.
Yeah.
And it clearly ate him up, but it's like, what are you trying to do here? He just got caught in between thoughts.
He had an ear on the side of his,
I know.
What if this hops on me?
And that was in the first minute?
First 30 seconds of his 1,000th NHL start.
That's a lot of starts.
Do you not watch that?
Shouldn't that not have been a bigger deal?
That's a lot of starts.
The man's gotten a ton of attention already.
He has.
Yeah, good point.
He has. But 1,000 starts, only four guys in NHL history.
It's very impressive. Very impressive. And then you thought, okay, this is going to be one of those nights for McDavid. He could break Sittler's record. If that first one's going in this is going to be a flood. But it was anything but for the Oilers.
Can I read you some home stats for the Edmonton Oilers this year, courtesy Sportsnet Stats?
Yes.
The Oilers at home this season, goals per game, rather important, 2.27, 31st in the National Hockey League. Goal differential, minus 13, 31st in the National Hockey League. Save percentage, .871, 30th in the National Hockey League all at home, those totals.
What's going on?
Boy.
They're 10-9 on the year. Oh!
Okay, according to our tech guru, Derek Brandeo, Doug McLean is now ready for us and really, really excited, according to Derek. Is that a good scoop from Derek, that you're really, really excited?
You know what? Fridays are a special day for me. You know, I spend a lot of the day prepping for this show. I went down, I swam for 45 minutes. I had a sauna, and I went sat in the whirlpool, come up and had a shower, going out to friends for dinner, but this is always a special time for me every Friday.
Can you say it with like a little bit more excitement and you're not reading it off a cue card?
Well, I wish I would have had a chance to listen to the last hour when you guys were talking Leafs, but I missed it. You know, I missed the opportunity to hear all. But did you seriously say that Robertson reminds you of St. Louis? You're joking,
in
right?
In Calgary.
No, you're joking. I watched St. Louis in St. John, Vermont. It's not even close.
Why did Calgary let him leave?
Well, you'll have to ask Nick Pilano that in Nick's past.
Maybe Nick.
And Craig Button. Wasn't Craig there, too?
Maybe Craig Button, too. But maybe one of them thought that he looked like Robertson.
My guys loved him. Paul Castron, Donnie Boyd, they all loved him, and I was too dumb to
Thank you for saying it, because I was about to.
Wow.
Right? Smarty pants. Why didn't you get him if he was so great that you saw him?
Because I thought he was Nick Robertson. Anyway.
So, we started a little bit on the Edmonton Oilers here and watching a Minnesota Wild team that did anybody think that they could compete this year? They're still coming off those dreadful contracts and all Billy Guerin of Zach Parise and Suter. And all Guerin's done is just put this team in a position to contend.
And you know what? They were bad at times last year, really bad. And no, I wouldn't have predicted they were going to be good this year. Fleury Fleury, I know he let in the tough one last night, but listen, this guy helps the culture tremendously. And it's all about when you could get teams to believe they have a chance to win, you know, when you can get that culture where you believe you have a chance to win, it can really change the dynamic. And we've seen it in Winnipeg. We see it in New Jersey. Have a look at Jersey's blue line. You're talking Leafs competing for a Stanley Cup. Have a look at the blue line in New Jersey. Okay, let me just give you this quickly. Wait, let me see if I can find it here. Pesci, okay? Hughes. I mean, Hamilton, a guy that's come in out of the blue and given them great minutes is, oh, what the hell's his name?
Kovacevic.
Kovacevic, Hamilton, Dylan, Hughes, Siegenthaler, Pesci. That is a good-looking Stanley Cup playoff blue line right there, guys. And that's one of the reasons they beat Carolina last night. Those are two contenders for the Stanley Cup all of a sudden. And it starts in the back end. And you know what they've got for speed up front. They're believing that they can win. That's what's going on in Minnesota. And it's the culture is so critical. You know, believing that you actually have a chance to win. Are the Leafs getting there? Not yet for me, but they're playing awful well.
Okay, before that, I just wanted to start. We started off with Edmonton. So is that your point now that we can look at Emberson, Brown, Stetcher, and go, is that really a blue line that came within one game of winning a Stanley Cup last season?
It's not. And then you look at where they are in goals for, where they are in goals, giving up chances, where their goaltending is. It's you know, and then they bring in Kapanen. Like, why? Like, what are they thinking about?
Well,
to play in the regular season? This is a Stanley Cup contender, and you're bringing Kapanen into your dressing room? And what am I missing here? Like, seriously.
What are you saying here?
What am I saying is that why would you go there? Why would you waste
they're hurt,
of money on
right?
Them?
They got guys out. Hyman's
out. Bring guys up from Bakersfield. You're going to make the playoffs. You're going to make the playoffs and save that $775 or million, whatever he's making, and pay it to somebody else. But, I mean, right now, this is a – them and Vancouver, I thought they were both going to be the two best teams in the West. And right now, Alvin, he's trying to turn them into the Swedish national team in Vancouver. I mean, Tocchet must be really excited. And now they lose their engine, JT Miller, for whatever reason. I don't know. Hopefully it's not serious. They need him back. But look, building a winning team, look, it's so tough in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But these additions aren't helping their chances win a Stanley Cup.
You know, it's funny, you know, you're talking about culture and, you know, the culture of winning and believing you could win. I'm watching this Senators team. Got the jersey behind me here, you know, looking to turn the corner. They just can't get it going. Brady Tkachuk's in the media talking about, you know, no more BS excuses. And it just, what are they lacking? Why can't the Senators just take hold of a season?
You know, and you know what, when I jotted that down, believing is winning, I was thinking of the Ottawa Senators, because you've got your GM who he's patting himself on the back for all the moves he made. And I look at the moves he made, and I love this young group of players in Ottawa. I said that last week. I love this young group of players. But Amodio, I'm sorry. He's not a guy that's going to take it home for you. I mean, Ullmark, I think they're worried about Ullmark right now, guys. I think they're worried that this guy may not be the real deal. I mean, he's talking way too much. He's not stopping the puck. We all loved him in Boston. But I'd be really nervous right now from what I'm seeing, a couple of good games, and that's it. And, you know, their top young guys are stars, but we've seen lots of teams that have all these great young players. I've listened about Buffalo for the last 3 years. I've listened about Columbus for the last 3 years. All these young prospects that are going to become stars. it's really tough to win in the NHL. And, you know, right now, they've got two tough games coming up at home with the way Calgary's playing. And then they go 14 of 19 on the road in Ottawa. I mean, and look, guys, if you're not in the playoffs after 20 games, there's one or two teams that flip, and that's it. That's it. The Boston Bruins, I look today, they got to go 35-24 and something to make the playoffs because they were 19 points at 20 games. Like, it's tough when you get past the 20-game mark to flip spots. So if you're out today, you got to grind big time.
Mac, we know the race to sign all of these kids to long-term deals, and you know, like you said, we like them too. But would you take one of Batherson, Norris, Ridley, Gregg, Pinto, Stutzel, Batherson? I don't know, one of them, and just say, let's move something out here just to open up the floodgates, maybe.
Yeah, they're going to have to consider that. And you know, Steo says, well, you guys better sort it out in the dressing room. I'm sorry. Who's going to sort it out there? They're great young players. Giroux, is he going to sort it out? He's played really well. Give him full marks. But he's not a guy that's at this stage of his career is going to sort it out in the dressing room. And, you know, so all of a sudden your GM is saying that would make me really nervous. And I'm sitting here last week, I was raving about this team, and right now watching them play lately, I'm nervous. And I know they're playing, they're getting lots of scoring opportunities, but there's something missing with that group. There's something drastically missing with that group. And look, we watch it with so many franchises, and to make it and get over the hump is really, really tough.
So we're talking about, you know, good teams, good players trying to find it. Guy that we've talked about before the show is Connor Bedard. Connor Bedard is now on an 11-game goalless drought. He's playing on the wing on a line with Joey Anderson and Jason Dickinson for a bad Chicago team. What do you make of his season so far?
Well, you know, I brought it up a couple of weeks ago on this show that teams are playing him tough right now. They're you know, he doesn't have the greatest foot speed. He's not a Connor McDavid speed guy that's going to beat you. He's a skilled kid. He's a heck of a hockey player, but they're backing off him in the neutral zone. They're angling him. I mean, he's having a tough time. Teams are focused on him. Teams are playing him different. And for a young player to overcome that at this early in his career without a supporting cast. Listen, I was with Yzerman for 5 years in Detroit, and I've told you that before. This guy really struggled early in his career. Yeah, he was scoring, but he couldn't get it all together at playoff time, because he didn't have a good enough supporting cast. Once Stevie Y got the great supporting cast, he became one of the greatest captains in the history of the game and won a bunch of Stanley Cups. But I'm telling you, they all go through it, and you've got to support these guys. I mean, I had it with Nash. I spent half my time trying to – I brought in Andrew Castles to play with Nash, coming off a real good few years in Vancouver. I brought in Fedorov to – smarten up Jared Evan, play with Nash. You know, just you're always spinning, trying to find the right people to come into your dressing room. And it's not easy. And Ottawa's faced with that. Chicago's faced with that. Detroit even are faced with that. I mean, Stevie Y has tried 3 years in a row to sign a bunch of free agents. Stejos did it this year. And Poulin, by the way, Poulin, I haven't heard his name mentioned in the last 2 months. I read press conference after press conference all summer. I haven't heard his name, but look, you know, it's hard. Everybody thinks they're signing these free agents in the summer that are going to come in and mold the group together. Doesn't work. It's a long road. I mean, look at what New Jersey did. They brought in a few defensemen, and they brought in a goaltender. Right now, they didn't make the playoffs last year, and today you'd have to say they're a Stanley Cup contender with Carolina and with Florida in the East. And Tommy Fitz has done a solid job because he brought in real players. Pesce has had great years in the NHL. You know, Hamilton's been there. Hughes is developing. I mean, they've changed their back end, you know. So it really it changes the look of the team. But bringing in fringe guys and throwing them in there, it just complicates it.
We're talking to Doug McLean. I'm teeing you up. Would you just take catch a breath, for God's sakes? Okay.
Well, I get excited.
I know you're excited.
When I get a chance to get on this show, you know?
He is former.
Jill's mad at me. I was supposed to walk the dog because we got to go out after, and we're racing to get the friends. And she used to like you. And now when I bring up the Kipper show, she snaps.
Okay. Tell her we'll get you back washing the dishes or whatever you were doing before. I just want to go back on Connor Bedard for a second, okay? Because you brought up Stevie Yzerman on a couple occasions already. But, you know, and Stevie was a top pick. But you know what? Stevie wasn't labeled a generational player. And if we go back to maybe Bobby Orr, we're talking about a handful of guys that get that label. And we threw it all over Bedard. Yep. And I'm not saying that, you know, by the end of his career, he's not special or he won't be lumped in. But what are the odds that people were wrong, that he'll just be a very good player, a solid player, an all-star player, but not a generational type of guy that will be mentioned with some of the greats in the history of the game? Could that have played a part now on maybe what he's going through personally?
I think not. I think he's going to be a stud. I think he's going to be a great young player. And I think if he went in with a team, and look, Stevie Y was with a bad Detroit team, and Jimmy D and Kenny Holland and the group built around it. But if we saw this kid get the opportunity that Hughes is getting in New Jersey, or Seth Jarvis is getting, and they're not the same, they're not as good. Well, Hughes is as good a player. He might be a generational player, this guy. But Carolina, New Jersey, with good hockey teams, you know, it would have made a big difference. But to come into Chicago, and I know it happens because it's the worst team gets the best player typically. You know, it's a grind for him. And they tried to surround him with a bunch of guys this year that everybody tries to do. And it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work. Well, you've got to get real players, and they're hard to find.
It's funny, Doug, because we see teams tear it down because they want to get a top pick, and they tear it so ridiculously down that it's like it takes forever to build it back up. And we've seen San Jose do that most recently. Excuse me, and I worry about them a little bit, but Macklin Celebrini's only played 10 games, but really is showing signs of being the real deal for them. How quickly should they start to add players and try to win hockey games? Because I don't think you can just flip the switch in a year.
You've got to add real players, and you've got to make tough decisions and tough trades to bring real players into your team. And you know what? It's easy to say. I mean, when I was in the Fire, when I was trying to build a team in Columbus, like, it is such a grind to bring in those types of players. But, you know, it starts, number one, with great goaltending, and you've got to build still. It hasn't changed in 25 years, guys. You still have to build the back end, starting with goaltending, and you've got to find the right type of players to come into your team that are going to be there for a long time. This patching, like, I look at Ottawa, like Perron comes in now. I mean, I know he's having major off-ice family problems. I feel for him. But some of these guys that are coming in there, they're at the end of it. The Foligno was a great captain, a great kid, a great player. But what at this stage in his career, is that what you – I know you want leadership around these kids, but you need guys that can play.
Is that
– that can play.
Mac, is that why we see teams just – overspend at UFA because they're as desperate as you just made them out to be? And is that what Chicago needs to do? Go wait and hopefully that a Marner's out there or a Rantanen's out there or a Brad Marchand's out there for 2 or 3 years?
Well, if you're going to, it's tearing it down, but it's getting your cap ready. Like, you know, Columbus have tried to tear it down, what, 4 or 5 times now in their 24 years? I mean, how many rebuilds have they had? I mean, I've been gone for 12 years. I'm still being blamed for it. But, like, seriously, they've had four rebuilds since I left. So, yeah, you've got to make those right signings and real players. And they don't have to be a Marner, but they've got to be a bona fide NHL player that's going to come in. And you know, we see – I know Hyman's struggling this year, but he was acquired in the offseason as an unrestricted free agent. Marner's probably going to be available, you know. And like you said, he's probably going to get $8 or $9 million.
Eight for sure.
What, you know, and the other, like, I love Vegas. I see Mark Stone's out now. Like, Mark Stone should be called Captain Cap. Because when Mark Stone goes out, how long is he going to be out? Is he going to be out till the playoffs and all of a sudden there's $9 billion in cap space, or is Mark Stone? And look, there's not a person or a player in the league that doesn't love Mark Stone. And I do. I love the way this guy competes and plays, but now he's out. Like, is he going to be a guy that's going to be out till the end, till the playoffs? And all of a sudden Kelly's got $9 million to play with there, you know? It's going to be, you know, that's going to be interesting to watch. Now, Mark Stone will probably be back next week, but that's how you win Stanley Cups now, is you get that LTI extended.
Yeah, so that's a great little loophole that they've done great by. So, you know, kind of go around Canada. We haven't got fully to Vancouver yet. You know, their record is still pretty good, but everyone's talking about this Canucks team like things are a bit of a mess. What are your thoughts on what's going on there?
Well, it's a mess because they lose at home. That's the downside. Right. Pedersen's gone through problems. Besser's been out. There's been lots of injuries. They lost. You know, Zadorov was a good player there last year because he was in the right spot. He fit in perfectly there. Now goes to Boston and he's a major problem. I mean, doesn't look like anywhere near the same player. Myers was they had a big back end last year. Demko was a top goaltender in the league and he hasn't played. So I think once they get things settled down and get people back there, you know, and into the mix, but they don't want to move to their young prospects too quick. They've got to win right now and they've got to have some quality veterans there. Pedersen looks like he's coming out of it. I still think they're going to be a lot better. I really do. And I know Alvin loves the Swedish national team, and I was joking. He's, you know, well, he's making them a little bit like that, but not totally. You know.
So I'm starting to read that Zadorov could end up back in Vancouver. I think Elliot Friedman kind of threw it out there. And I'm asking you if Zadorov ends up going back to Vancouver and Boston has to eat a little bit of the money, is someone else getting fired in Boston besides Montgomery?
They wouldn't do that. You can't admit defeat like that already.
And that would shock me, but hey, nothing would surprise me. And look, they'd love to have him back because he was an important guy for them last year. And I mean, he was with McAvoy a few times I saw him. I'm thinking, oh my God, that looks like a crash test dummies out there with watching those two play. And McAvoy's the star. So he was, you know, they've got to get him back playing too, the way he can. But that would surprise me, but it wouldn't surprise me that Vancouver would want him back.
And, you know, while we're talking about things that we've heard, we were discussing earlier the potential for a guy like Kadri to come back to Toronto. They're looking for a third line center somewhere along the way. What do you think, Matt? Could it happen, a reunion one day?
Look, I said earlier today that was the gist of my whole show tonight, is Toronto have got to get Kadri. They got to go get him. They've got to go get him. If you're going to play against the teams in the playoffs, the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, the New Jersey Devils, they need a Kadri. And I know people in Toronto are going to say McLean's a clueless. I'm telling you, if I'm Brad Treliving, and I hear they're kicking tires. I heard today they were kicking tires there. Treliving's got his hands full because of a little animosity there, you know, left, and the Huberdeau deal still stings the ownership there. But everything he can do in his power, you go into the playoffs with the Toronto Maple Leafs, with Matthews at one, I might have Kadri at two and Tavares at three, but I'll tell you what, if they get him and they go against Florida and these teams, it is going to be a different series. It
is going to be a war. The passion is strong to my left. He's feeling
it. He is going to bring the huck and paws and some of these guys into the war.
You cannot do that to Sammy on a Friday, my friend.
I'm telling you, that's the number one thing I would say to Brad Treliving. And maybe try to get Uyghur out of there. Figure out the cap. They got all these geniuses running around there. That's all they do is work cap numbers.
Mac.
Well, figure it out. Pull a Mark Stone out of the woodwork.
Brad Treliving could not get Chris Tanev to Toronto last year and needed to wait to free agency. What are the odds that Calgary would deal?
Well, I'm just trying to help Sammy see a Stanley Cup before he's
dead,
working at wherever he's going next.
LCBO.
Walmart, whatever.
They got bags now. They brought the bags back at the LCBO, so they're going to need you.
Listen, amazing.
I'm just telling you, if they don't get that element, and I hear you, Tom Domi, and I love Ty, and I love his kid, and I camp, and what's the other guy's name? The big guy?
Holmberg.
Big cent. Holmberg, like, are you serious? You're going to go to war? Come on, get Kadri. Colorado haven't been the same since he left, as I said. Figure it out. Figure out a way to get it done. Put those geniuses, those cap geniuses, to work in Toronto.
Hey,
tell everybody how smart they are in the offseason. Do it in the in-season.
Speaking of Calgary, like, a little bit of love, for this hockey club?
You know what? The kid's a hell of a coach there. He's got them playing really well. Mm-hmm. And I had heard great things about Ryan before he got the job. Good job in the American League.
Yep.
They really wanted him bad. That's the way they wanted to go. They knew they were going to rebuild. And this guy, I'm hearing great things about him. I'm hearing that he's a real good coach. And he's got them playing really well.
I don't,
if I'm Ottawa, I'm a little nervous with them coming in the way they're playing.
I don't think it'll be long before we start hearing some really, really good things about you. I can feel it after this.
Any day now.
Hey, listen, when the kid in Calgary is all-star coach 2 years in a row, then you get to do the Kipper show when you're retired.
I'm sure Huska's watching right now going, that's my goal, to be Doug McLean right now on a show 20-30 years from now.
We do appreciate your time, Doug.
We got some good young coaches in the league, but I'm telling you, I'm serious about Kadri. You guys can all chuckle.
Not chuckling.
All you want,
we're not chuckling.
But I would figure it out and go get them.
I'm convinced.
And bring some nastiness into that group.
Can they retain $2 million for me?
As you
do
on our
show. $2 million?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Somebody in the league will retain it.
Yeah, retain it. Get them for $5 million.
What's Columbus got? $20 million in cap space? And you've got some great young prospects to move. Sorry, you're going to have to move
now,
one of them.
My last thought is the league put out a video on headshots. Are you
again?
Yeah, like no more confusion for you, right? You now know for sure what a headshot is and what isn't. You're good, right?
I was till I watched Sportsnet the other night. And they confused me even more.
Was it me?
Like I thought it was a good hit. I thought I understood the explanation for it. I trust when the referees look at it in slow motion and the guy in the video room a former referee looks at it or linesman looks at it in the video room, they can make the right call. I didn't mind it. I love seeing that hit. I don't like seeing Nyes get hurt because he's an important kid and he looks like he's going to be a good player. But I love the hit. And I love, you know what I love too? I love, this is the other thing I like about the Leafs right now. They got some grease on the back end. Benoit jumps in. Mm-hmm. Tanev was real good against the other night. I just like what I'm seeing from the back end there with McCabe is greasy. At least he's greasy. And if you're not greasy at playoff time, Oliver Ekman-Larsson was greasy last year in the playoffs, for Florida. So I like, and then you look at their goaltending. Is there better goaltending right now in the NHL than the way the kid has played from Florida? And Wall had a great game against Vegas the other night. They're set up now to do something.
Are you,
so go do it.
Are you, I don't think Doug's ever said that before.
Are you coming up for the parade?
Because I've always laughed at the third and fourth lines because they were a waste of time.
Hey,
okay, they were a waste of time.
Are you going to make the parade in June?
No, I'll be busy. I'll be busy. But I'll feel good that Brad listened to me and went and got the guys he needs. Forget about all these fringe guys. Go get some real guys.
All right. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, Mac.
Thanks, Mac.
Guys, have a great dinner. Tell your dog we said hi.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on, guys. Like, seriously.
Tell Jill we really appreciate it.
Newman now.
His dog's name is Newman. Newman.
Doug McClain, everybody.
Great. Great stuff. Spectacular.
He had it today. I just like,
it's
had
like
to
drinking
think,
from
go.
A fire hose with him. It's just like, what? Go. I don't even remember anything that just happened.
I can't even I wanted to ask him one more question Kadri? About Berard, but he like went to like three other subjects after that. And I'm like, I don't remember what I was going to ask him now.
Sammy achieved nirvana during the Kadri talk. He was excited.
God, I cannot tell you how much that would instill passion.
Passion would be back.
Oh, I mean, the passion never left me. There's times where it seems like it might have, but it never really does. But if you brought Kadri back to this fan base, like we got 10 texts. I'm getting multiple tweets. Yes, Doug. Yeah. Like people love Kadri in this market. Yeah. He is beloved here. Yeah. So maybe he shouldn't come back because maybe it starts to go bad.
I don't get Tim Brent.
I don't believe for one second that they're shopping him right now. Could they be in a position to listen to some offers for Kadri by February or March? But they're in the thick of things like they are right now.
They're not trading him.
It might be hard.
What are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? You tell me they're trying to win in 2027. Every time they win, they beat the Rangers last night. It's like, that's not good.
Are they like 20-something shots in the first?
Buddy, they had 37 shots through two periods.
What the hell is going on? Good coach.
Yeah.
Stop it. I'm like, could you stop coaching good?
You still got to listen. You got to listen to offers.
Like I said,
the most important thing is they get to the building, they can crank those prices up with a good team. Because those prices are going up.
Yeah, well, they're playing in a dilapidated.
Short to tell you. All right, what do you got, Sammy?
Game time?
Let's go.
Should we go after the break?
No, we'll do it. Fine. Okay. We'll do it right now.
Are you producing now?
Well, I'm advising.
Well, listen.
You're also sneezing and coughing, too.
Yes, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Like, I'm the producer and I talk, so he's allowed to produce too, right? Like he can. Anyways, it's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So only two games on the ice tonight. So I was looking at a few futures for in the National Hockey League, looking at the Hart Memorial Trophy favorites for the MVP of the league. Kirill Kaprizov is the favorite at plus 275.
Favorite,
plus 275. Nathan MacKinnon, plus 400. Connor McDavid, plus 400. Kucherov, 6-1. And then it goes up to Panarin at 12-1. Then Makar at 25-1 is the next list.
What if he just smacked a bunch of money on both McDavid and MacKinnon at plus 400?
Feels like,
and your odds are pretty good.
Why is Stolarz not mentioned that? He's has been as valuable to Toronto as anybody.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, they don't love to give it to goalies, but it's not a bad point.
I'm just
play
looking
some more games.
I'm just looking through here. I don't even know if I can find
it. Where did you say Hughes was, Quinn Hughes?
Quinn Hughes is... I'm just having a tough time.
He's behind Makar?
Yeah.
Boy. He's pretty awesome.
They still got Austin Matthews on that list, do they not?
Austin Matthews is 40-1 right now.
Yeah.
Quinn Hughes is 100-1.
That's a good bet.
That is a good bet.
Not that I think you'll win the bet, but I think odds value-wise.
And Jack Adams Award winner?
I think Brock Besser may play this weekend.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Good. Maybe. I think he's going on the trip.
He's still leading the Canucks in goals. He's got 11 goals.
Who do you think's
the... They got to start thinking about signing him, too, by the way.
Okay. Go. Who do you think the favorite for Jack Adams is?
Jack Adams? Sheldon? Keefe.
It is not Sheldon Keefe. Nope. Sheldon Keefe is 16-1.
Who?
Spencer Carberry is a big favorite.
That's right.
Plus 180. But I mean, Scott Arneil's not?
Yeah.
Scott Arneil should be the favorite. Plus 375?
Great point.
I think they should be co-favorites.
Like, the Jets were a good team last year. I think they're a 110-point team last year. Mm. So what Arneil's doing is less shocking than what Carberry's doing with
him. And the last thing I'll bring up quickly.
I definitely go with that. Yeah.
The last thing I'll bring up quickly. The NHL Stanley Cup favorite still, according to Bet365, is the Edmonton Oilers at 9-1.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No.
9-1.
Come on.
Still the favorite.
Favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not budging. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are next at 10-1.
They should watch some games.
I do think it's related a lot to who are you going to play. Like round one, they're getting L.A., you know, or a team like that.
Round one, are they going to?
They don't know.
Maybe round one, they're on the golf course.
We don't know.
Never know. Hey, you know, Seattle, Edmonton, I think Seattle's 10-9 now.
Oilers need a trade.
Bad.
And they need to do it soon.
Happening not enough?
No. Please. Doug said it.
If you like the Winnipeg Jets.
Doug was implying he didn't like that at all.
No.
The Winnipeg Jets are 11-1.
Not implying.
Saying.
Didn't like it.
All right.
You have been ignored so much in the last three minutes.
Listen, you guys do a really great job not ignoring me, so you should ignore me more. That was Game Time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Terry only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. And, Sammy, you got a few texts still to go here, eh, on our national hour. We're not done.
Yeah, it's mostly going to be Leaf stuff unless people let her
text 590,
yeah, text 590.
We are national now.
If you don't want to hear Leaf stuff that I still have from the first block, text it right now. But if you don't, Leaf stuff. So text 590-590.
Back after these words. Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, down the stretch we come on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. I get a few texts from my buddies every once in a while, and they're like,
"Tell Sammy,
I love Mac. I love Mac. He's like,
he's great. He brings the heat.
And, he was out there today,
and in
too.
Fairness, we joke a lot with him, but like, we really appreciate.
Oh,
I do that.
God.
He gives us his time. He is not.
So you're confirming we're not paying him.
He
That's what you're doing right now.
He is not earning money for this. And he gives us time every Friday at, you know, this time. That's not nothing. So very cool.
Yeah, yeah. And Jill, his wife, would not agree.
I'm not worried about their finances. Let's put it that way.
The first text we got after I said about the Leafs said, "Hey, I love the show, but I hate the Leafs. When are you guys going to talk about the young guns in Calgary? Zari, Coronado, and Wolf. Go Flames." We talked about it with the general manager of the Flames earlier this week.
Literally had the GM of the team on. Was it yesterday?
And you can download that show at any time. Mm-hmm. But again, Zari with that like an incredible goal on the game winning goal against the Rangers.
Can I be such a downer?
And it was I know it. you don't. A puck cannot.
From that angle tucked under the bar.
But it went short side, right underneath.
Yeah,
but
watching that was like
regardless. Even if it was redirected, like you said, you got to get enough on it.
Yep. Makes a great play.
And from that angle, you don't see Shesterkin give up that type of goal very often.
Coronado, his family's house in Greenlawn, backs up to the Gillies. So
really?
Yeah, he grew up an Islanders fan.
He can shoot a puck, too.
Shoot a puck. Nice goal yesterday.
Got to tell you, I'm not a huge goalie guy, but I think my favorite goalie to watch outside of the Leafs goalies is Wolf.
Yeah, I love his, like, his posture, his stances.
He just looks like a star goalie.
Also, Shesterkin made a wild save. By the way, Johnny Lazarus, I believe is the name, he's a New York Rangers guy, tweeted a hand-signing emoji and eyeballs a la Kevin Weeks. Is it Shesterkin time? Is he about to get his money? Could be today.
They just need to go above Panarin.
No kidding.
11.75. You could leak that, and then that would really put a lot of pressure on Shesterkin because the Rangers can go back and say, you wanted to be the highest guy. You are. Now what are we doing here?
Just bringing the public into it thing, though, like it went for Swayman, I don't think it helps relationships.
I agree.
You know?
This is different. For me, there's no comparable. Shesterkin's got him by the short ones, guys.
I also think, there's not... Like the Swayman thing, the way he's played this year, I don't know if Shesterkin has that in him. Just you know, like, where he's just going to be f- flat out bad. Like I don't see that ever really happening in any scenario. Yeah.
If you want to talk about public and putting it out there, who put out more in the history of potential free agents than the Minnesota Wild, who told Kirill the Thrill, whatever it takes, yes.
Write your check, we'll sign it.
No one is outbidding us.
I love that.
Like, to me,
I mean, I don't love it strategically.
Good on them.
For sure.
Good on them.
It's Minnesota. You got to keep them.
Because
you can't let
them have no choice.
He's a favorite for the MVP in the league.
They're like, how much do you want to hamstring our cap? You decide. Here's the check. You're going to be here. Listen, you decide.
There's that saying, okay? There's three priorities. Number one is you do whatever it takes to sign him. Number two priority is get him as cheap as possible. And the third priority is don't let priority number two mess with priority number one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well said.
Yeah.
Nothing to add to that. That's bang on.
Yeah, let's do it here.
And there could be a conversation about that for a certain forward in Toronto. Okay, Marty Natchez for Carolina has been doing very well. No other comment than that, but maybe that's what, just no other comment than that.
On pace for 130 plus points, I believe. If you look at the speed burst stats on NHL.com/edge, it's like McDavid, McKinnon, Natchez. That's like, he's always one of those guys. And I had heard that they were shopping him earlier, maybe in the summer.
Yeah, but they weren't really shopping him, but that's just a team that hates paying players.
Oh, they hate it.
That's all, right? And it's just going to catch up with them and everyone else because there's new money coming in and there's a new standard here.
He's making $6.5 million, and he makes six.
$6.5 million.
And he makes $6.5 million next year.
Oh, my God.
So you can sign him this, what? Is that January 1st or July 1st?
July 1st.
July 1st. And then, now you owe your winger 12. Congratulations.
What's his biggest year before this?
I don't know. It's a little bit Huberto-esque. Yeah. Where
how
it's
old
like,
is he?
Where did this come from? He's 25.
25. Oh, my gosh.
25. And his biggest year prior to this was a 71-point season 2 years ago. 28 goals, 71 points.
It's fair to say he's probably going to blow past that.
I think he might be there by... Yeah, the All-Star break.
I'm telling you, like, I know Elliot put something out earlier. I had something in my news and notes for my Toronto Star article. Like, the cap's going up, mm-hmm. and negotiations are starting. And depending on who you talk to, it's going to be real interesting how they forecast the new money and how they are going to allocate it and where is it going to drive big markets back up, mm-hmm. and where some other small markets won't get to the floor.
Don't you think the game needs that a little bit? Not that it won't get to the floor. I mean, everyone has to get to the floor.
No.
But won't compete spending.
I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years is a cap 105, 110, 115. And how many teams now realistically will not be able to get to the cap.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is like the salary cap this year is $88 million, and you have, I want to say 25 teams paying over 80, you know, and I would say at least half the league is over 85. So everyone is within a breath of the cap. It's not, there's going to be separation in a team like Toronto, to your point, should be able to use its financial might to their advantage because a team like Columbus is never going to up their salary cap. They would have to, you know, spend another $50 million.
And they can't. They can't.
They physically don't, like the owners don't have the money to do that. $50 million a year, actually.
So the biggest problem, not to get into the whole thing, but the biggest problem the Lit players have had over 15, 20 years has been what? Escrow.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, they hate it.
So what happens now when the cap goes up and you're forcing teams to spend and some of them won't spend, but the revenues keep driving up, mm-hmm. what we're going to start hearing now is a term called shortfall, meaning it's the opposite of escrow. Escrow is when the players pay to make sure that the owners get their fair split. But if the revenues outdrive the spending and the players are allocated 50%, mm-hmm. then they get to turn around and take the money off the owners.
Yeah. So you're going to tack 10% on our salaries.
Owners will love
that. So it's the opposite of escrow. Now it's the owners that have to stroke a check back to the players.
Okay.
So
you know, they're making so much money that that's a good thing.
But it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But they're owed the money of the split.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give it to them in contracts, right? Because a lot of them are tied in, and like there's nowhere to spend the money.
Okay.
The money's coming in,
yeah,
and the revenue and the sponsorship, and it's driving everything
teams
up.
Teams could conceivably spend enough that there wouldn't be a shortfall, but because teams aren't going to spend that much, there will be a shortfall.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And now you got to give it back to the players.
And would that be divided amongst all the players?
If I'm a star player like Leon Draisaitl, I say fat chance. Because think about it. If I paid 15% escrow on my salary and you're paying the same split, but you're making $700,000 and I'm paying
$10 million. I've paid a lot more escrow than you did.
And now we're going to equal it out when it comes back.
Me and Nick Robertson are not splitting the extra money.
If the money doesn't get spent and Draisaitl's making 14, he could make another $1.5 million in shortfall of the money. Like it's a real interesting dynamic
moving forward. Yeah. And you know what? And people hate this. I don't even want my mom to hear this, but they're underpaid. They're underpaid. Owners are making a fortune on them. NBA players are making 50 and 60 million per year. MLB players are making 50, 60 million per year.
It's crazy.
Now, they're behind. What's that?
Right?
Yeah.
Not the
They're
guys.
Way behind in terms of what the sport generates and what they get.
Like MLSE here, they're looking at over $100 million just in sponsorship money. Just sponsorship money.
Quick
it's
one.
Crazy.
From Dave in Kelowna.
Hey, what's up? Kelowna.
Just to check to see if I got the number right. You did, Dave. Do you think the Oilers can keep gambling on Skinner and Net, or do they need a real goalie?
No, they can't. This is preposterous now.
I will say this, that if I have to make a decision on Skinner, I have to play better in front of him. Go look at the goals last night that the Oilers gave up. But there's no coverage out front. They're like,
okay.
Skinner could have made the first save, but it's the second and the third one. He can't. Like,
there's no doubt that last night he was hung out.
They are not.
No argument.
They're not anywhere near championship caliber defensive coverage. And I'll throw it on the coaches.
Ooh.
They're not playing like in front of Skinner. They look horrible.
Sammy goes to me, do you think Knobloch's in trouble? It's like, he hasn't been there 12 months. But, you know, just like, it's not going great. But Skinner's an 876. Like,
not a chance. Give me not a chance. The coach is in trouble. Not a chance.
876. But they need wretched.
To make. He's near the bottom of the league
Stan
in pretty
Bowman
much every category.
Needs to go out there and change it up a little bit on this team.
They're dying for a defenseman. They need one badly. They got, like, you know, you watch that game against the Leafs. It's like, all right, it's a lot of
now efforts. They're talking about Pittsburgh's Marcus.
Patterson?
No.
It's like,
no. That guy, they need
like
a defender.
Available.
He can't. That guy's, is he not a 50-point guy kind of guy?
I mean, I honestly don't know.
But he's not. He's not.
No.
They need another Ekholm-type trade that they made that
They
time.
Need one of those guys.
Yeah, which are hard to find.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in.
I love Ekholm.
Yeah, there's not many guys around the league available like that.
If he's not at the top of his game, the Oilers really have no chance back there.
Yeah.
And Nurse, they got to get him back.
Yeah, he helps.
Right? Last night,
he helps.
They really missed him.
Bouchard is an unbelievable player. Like, what a talent. And he's just, you never know
he
what's going
to
happen.
He needs to get better defensively.
He does. You never know what's going to happen when he's out there. Either way, it's a blast.
And I don't know if he's thinking about his contract or what, but like right now, I wouldn't pay him $10 million.
Carlson hasn't helped him. Eric Carlson hasn't helped him when you said, like, he can put up 100 points, but teams are just like, we can't. We want to put him on the ice right now.
Saturday night off, boys.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So I
Same
did
thing I do every
day. I did radio today in Edmonton. They said,
nice.
Like,
with
there's no Leafs on Saturday night. Have they canceled Hockey Night in Canada?
Oh, I love it. Who'd you go on with?
I can't remember. They're all the same, aren't they? They just called me up. You want to go on the radio? Yeah, let's go on the radio.
Oh, God. Sorry for putting you that
Kevin
spot.
Was great.
Oh, okay.
That was my host.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good show.
How much time do we have? Derek. Are you gone? 15 seconds to
Sunday
thank
night hockey,
Doug
baby.
McLean on Off the Rails Friday. I hope you enjoyed the week.
Great
Give
week.
Us a rating and review if you get a chance. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe.